Oh, I got his ass now.
You have to be fast on the track.
I hate that guy.
This race can change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns are at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butthole got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Can't believe it's almost been a year now that Grindle gave us that beautiful sound bite from our live show last year at The Greatest Race on Earth.
I really love it. I think it just adds so much little flair to the end of that intro. It's fantastic. That's, dude,
gets me going.
It does get me going too. It's kind of like, I don't know, when Grindle gets on that mic, it gets you going in the stadiums or at the races. Dude, it gets us going right now.
Are you wearing a short sleeve over top of a long sleeve right now?
No. Does it look like I am?
It does look like it.
Dude, it's this damn hoodie design. Hey, it's ridiculous. It's got this like...
It does look like that.
It looks like I'm wearing a crop top then too. It's got this weird little cutoff on the sleeves. Not a fan.
Is that a Cycling Canada shirt?
It is, yeah. Hoodie, a couple years old now.
Since when did Cycling Canada get it sponsored by Adidas?
A couple years ago.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, no. We got the shitty stuff. You know, here's the thing. I'm just going to say, here's the thing. When they were sponsored by Lulu and we got the shitty stuff still really good. When you got a company like Adidas.
I
got
to say, though, out of all the Lulu stuff I have, that stuff that Cycling Canada got was by far the worst stuff.
It was. I don't 100%. Disagree. Like, I put the jacket on. I'm like, this is just pretty cheap quality hoodie.
Yeah.
But it's still up there, like, level-wise. When you get to these Adidas brands, you know, their low end is very low end. So, like, I mean, it's just like, the t-shirts are just the most basic cotton t-shirts you could possibly buy.
Which I don't get. Like, if you're a company sponsoring, you know, something like the national team, wouldn't you want them to look just fresh as fuck?
Yes.
Like, why wouldn't you just give them like the good stuff?
I don't know if it's like it just costs them too much money or if like they think we're not promoting enough, but I don't know. I would think the same. You want them in the good stuff. You don't want them showing off shit stuff.
Well, also, like, you give people good stuff, they're going to want to wear it. Like, they'll wear it all the time. You give people shitty stuff, it's like, well, they probably will only wear it when they have to and then bitch about it to other people.
Yeah, you wear it for your shitty stuff.
which is what happens a lot of the time.
It's pretty true, though. I mean, all my shitty stuff, I wear it till it gets dirty, run down, and then I just toss it out. It's like the good stuff you wear all the time, nice events, you show it off more. It's like, it's 100% it's true.
Talk about stuff you never really wear after you stop racing. Like, I have so much Cycling Canada, like, Team Canada stuff that I just sits in the closet. Like, I'm probably not going to wear it.
It's too bad. Like, cause I mean, at the time you almost don't want to wear it too much cause that's all you wear. And then as soon as you're out of it, you're right. You don't wear any of it.
No, this kind of like, what am I going to wear to Sprouts when I go get groceries? Like,
no, you're just not going to happen.
You're just not going to do that. Yeah.
You know what I did do is the Lulu tees we had, once again, the bad quality tees, they're still better than a cotton t-shirt. I cut the sleeves off, made a tank top out of it. Perfect for the gym now.
Oh yeah, great! Yeah. It's a great shirt.
Yeah, I'm not going to public gym, so I don't mind wearing something with logoed up a little bit. That you know, nobody's going to see it. So,
no. Show 223. It is Monday, November 13th, 2023. We got Pan Am Games gold medalist Cam Larson coming on the show, so it'll be good to catch up with Cam.
Gonna be great to catch up with him. We are brought to you presented by ProGate Europe, and Cam Larson. Would you say one of the most fast twitch starters out there out of ProGate Europe?
Yes.
I would think so. It's unbelievable. He's just Mr. Fast Twitch. Like, I've never seen
and
a guy
and he gets
twitchier.
A good start. He didn't win Pan Ams on a fucking Davenport, Iowa gate. He went on a ProGate Europe.
They know what they're doing down there. It's a big games. They went for the best gate in BMX. It's like hand in hand. A big event, you need the best gate. It's the only thing in BMX that is consistently the same is the ProGate Europe start gate.
Speaking of Pan Ams, I never saw the main. I never saw the video.
Still haven't seen it.
Where's the video? Is there a video somewhere?
I guess good question.
Look it up, but you don't have to look it up right now. But where'd you see it?
I watched it live. They had Pan Am Sports had this app going, and I could just watch it live. So I was on my phone watching it. Actually,
I think I was doing something that weekend. I don't remember what.
I'll be honest. There wasn't a whole lot of like Pan Ams. I feel like there's never a whole lot of what am I looking for? social media presence, like, boom, here it is, blah, blah. There's not always a whole lot of that. So I think that's kind of what happened. It kind of got mixed in.
Anyway, yeah, good to catch up with Cam today. We're going to talk about football quickly yesterday. Hashtag not a football show. Talk about two fucking devastating losses for our teams, the Ravens and the Bengals. I'm going to start with the Ravens. Twice they had fucking first 10 seconds. I think it might have been the first fucking play. Pick six. I'm like, we are rolling. Maybe the first 10 seconds.
That's
twice. Cool. We're up at least two scores. We're up like 14 and 17. And then the second half of the game, we couldn't score and we couldn't stop the other team from scoring. So whenever that happens, well, you know, it's what's going to happen. They supposedly, the Browns tied up with like 4 minutes to go or something. Their fucking kicker misses the extra point.
Yeah.
So the Ravens get the ball back and they're still 1 point up. All like they just couldn't move it down the field, couldn't get a first down. They fucking couldn't stop the Browns from advancing. At one point, they sacked the quarterback. He had like second and 21 and they got a first down. And then no time on the clock, kick a field goal. And I swear at my TV.
For that, like the up and downs right at the end there, the amount of emotions, you must be exhausted. Like that's a tough way to end the game.
I mean, they're still 7-3, but that was a tough loss.
Yeah. Which we're in the same division. Bengals are in the same division, right?
Yeah. And it's the hardest division in the NFL right now. Cause it's the Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, and Browns. And everyone's at least like 5-3 or 6. I think everyone's like, I think the Bengals are the worst team. They're like 5-4.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because they also had the shitty loss yesterday too. I mean, like they were down for a while and then Joey B started doing some random shit, made a good comeback. They made a good comeback to the point where it's like they had a drive, they had to hit a field goal instead of just actually getting a touchdown. That blew it for them. I mean, like you just give the guys the opportunity to just roll down the field and hit another field goal, they win. So
it was a field goal at the end of the game too, wasn't it?
It's exact same thing. Basically, yeah. Field goal at the end of the game.
Almost the same score too.
So frustrating. And the brutal part was they were like, were they outside of field goal range for like the third down or something? And then they like, dude, guy broke a tackle on a throw, broke a tackle, and then like got way inside field goal range, had an easy little chip in basically.
Yeah, of course he's going to make it.
Oh, so
big week in football though. Ravens and Bengals Thursday night football this week.
We play this week?
Thursday night football, Ravens and Bengals.
Oh,
big fucking week.
Shit.
Both teams need to bounce back badly.
We might have to put a coffee on the line here too.
Dude, it's a showcase game. Amazon Prime.
Oh, I do have Amazon Prime. Let's do that. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Showcase game.
Yeah.
Which, like, can you imagine what they do? And then 3-4 days later, you got to play again. Their bodies are going to be just wrecked.
They really go to war for one game, hey?
Dude, some of those hits, I'm just like, how are you just standing up running back to the huddle right now?
Crazy. There are some, yeah.
Especially, like, the receiver will like jump up and then just get fucking crunched by two guys while he's in the air. And you see his head like snap one way. It's like, Jesus, man.
It's brutal, dude. Even dude, they like, yeah, they'll hit the ground like after the hit or something too. And even that part, look, their head whips back. You can tell they're hitting their head so hard on the field. They just hop up. They're just hyped up. Guy fucking headbutts each other. They're stoked. It's like, no, not for me. Not for me, dude.
No question. The next day, I'm sure someone can barely get out of bed. 100%. It probably takes them a couple of days to even like be able to walk normal.
Probably, right? Yeah.
100%. Yeah, they're probably just hammered.
Our guy Joe Alster,
I dare say they might need to take a fucking cold plunge.
This goddamn cold plunge. I did a cold.
Which, can we just talk about that for a second? It's like it's something new. Ice baths have been around forever. It's called an ice bath. I don't know who this person is that's just started a cold plunge trend. It's just like, what are we doing here? It's called an ice bath.
What?
It's not new.
It's not new. It's been having, dude, I've been doing it for like 20 years. Like
people are taking them. Like it's just like some new incredible thing. You need to buy a $2,000 tub and you just get ice and have an ice bath.
Put it in a tub. It's pretty easy. You know, your freezer normally makes ice. You make ice, you put it in a cold tub with cold water. It does the exact same thing as those big fancy baths probably.
It's funny how this stuff trends.
It's really true. At one point, there's going to be a study that comes out that's going to be like, oh no, it's the worst thing for you and everyone's going to stop. And then eventually it'll be like, oh no, this is great. We need to start doing it again. That's probably what happened. Some guy decided to do a study that said it was good and they just keep going with it.
It actually is worse for you as an athlete over time if you do it after every session. Like you don't get the same benefits from training than you would if you didn't.
Because your body's okay. Yeah. See, there you go. Take like note.
Over a 6 month period with training, if you took an ice bath every day and didn't take it every day, you'd get more training benefit from not taking it.
So people need to stop taking it every day. They take it religiously.
It's beneficial at a race because obviously you have to recover really quickly and you don't really care. Like you just need to be fresh the next day. So it's worth it. But in training, there's kind of no point.
Time. There's a time and place for these kind of things, you know? People just like taking them just generally, though. Like people that aren't in sport or even sport, they just like taking cold plunges. Like I know there's just things about like it being beneficial mentally, you know, it's like, you know, you're going to not going to war, but like, you know, you're battling it through the elements and you beat it and then you're better, but you feel better, you do better, you're more motivated, all this stuff. I'm like, man, I'd just rather just go take a warm shower personally.
100% with you. Like, 100% with you.
Seriously.
You know, I'm pretty good with my 10-minute warm shower and I just go to the bed.
I normally feel pretty good after that.
I feel great after taking my warm shower.
I did a cold plunge this weekend for one of our guys' birthday here. It was a surprise. We all went down to the ocean with him to do this cold plunge. Instantly, it was just dive in, get out. I did my part. So that birthday, jumped in the water with everybody, and I was instantly out of there.
Sounds not fun at all. Like, I don't care.
Oh, see, I've done it once where I did a sauna and then I'll call it a cold plunge. It was an ice bath.
Yeah.
And it was awesome because you got in the sauna right after again. That was part of it.
So it's
like, you know, you're battling it, but you got the warmth after you go in the warmth. And it was that part was the best part.
All this stuff I did in my athletic career and all the pain I put my body through, I just want to be comfortable. I'm not going to do an ice bath when I don't have to. I'm not going to do this stuff anymore. There's no point.
Mr. Comfortable.
I'm just going to be comfortable at this point. There's no reason to.
Eat treats when you want to eat treats, you know, work out to stay fit. That's about it.
So I think a while ago that was like, my body type is, it said something like, my body type is like, you can kind of tell I work out, but I also don't say no to a cookie. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
I like that. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like Caroline was saying last week, it's not comfortable to be like super big, jacked and lean. It's so much upkeep and everything. It's not
true.
Like a natural, like, place to be for your body to be at. Like my body's more settled at where it's at now than when I was racing.
Yeah. And you can visually see it. I mean, it just, you look like a skinnier, lighter person. You're not carrying around extra muscle weight that you don't need because it was 100% all for a purpose.
Yeah. Like there's no need to, it's a lot for your body to carry that around.
Yeah. I feel that. I'm becoming a grumpy old man. I was down at the park today. So finally, it was raining all last week. Finally had a nice sunny day. And
oh, weird.
Yeah, weird. Vancouver, I know, right? Finally get a nice sunny day. It's freezing out, but it was nice. And I said, okay, I'll have a little cup of tea. I'll go down to the park. I'll enjoy the fucking sunset, you know, before
just
we do this podcast.
Just play some chess with another old man there? Or
I should have, honestly. I should have. And I'm sitting at this picnic table at the park watching the sunset. And these three kids, I'm like sitting there for like 5-10 minutes already. I need to leave in like 15 minutes. These three kids roll down. They got a basketball in hand. They're like shorts and a t-shirt. One kid's in a hoodie. And they pull it. They come sit on a bench like 10 feet away, pull out this laptop. And they just start playing like this basketball video game on the laptop. Talking so loud, dude. I'm talking like, we're in a nice quiet park by the beach. It's a very small area. Not a huge area. And they're just chatting up a storm, laughing, playing their video games. I wanted to yell at them so badly, dude. I'm getting old as fuck. They are pissing the shit out of me. You know, it's like.
It's disrespectful.
Come on now. Read the room. Read the area. It was so nice and peaceful before they got there.
It is disrespectful. What, are they just going to play fucking Fortnite at the beach at a sunset? It's like.
Basically.
Go home and do it in the living room.
Who pulls out a laptop on a cold ass day while the sun's going down at the beach? Like, who does that?
You know, one of my pet peeves is like when you're in a public place, airport, on a bus, somewhere like that, and someone's just like talking on speakerphone on their phone to someone or just talking really loud, that's a crime. That should be a crime.
You should be allowed to yell at those people.
It's like, first of all, like, how are you so socially unaware that you think what you're doing is okay? Like, have you never been out in public before? Do you not, like, have you ever been around people?
It's like, just, you gotta know, like, if you see those people, and it's like, you got to know if you're doing it, you're one of them. Like, go off to a corner, go step aside, maybe a little bit quiet. You do not need to be doing it in the middle of everybody sitting down in a nice, normal area, like communal area.
It's like, how socially fucking clueless can you be?
Mother,
wake up.
Figure it out, okay? Use your eyes, use your ears, figure it out.
Speaking of talking in public places, Comic Chatter live show at the grounds at the Answer BMX S-Squared Claiborne rig. Get yours today. It'll be Friday. We're talking after pro quarters.
After. Listen to that one more time. After pro quarters. You know where to find us. We're going to be there.
It'll be live in person. It won't be live online.
Repeat, live it will person. Not be live online. It will be live only in the Grands Stadium.
Won't be live online because the Wi-Fi sucks at the Expo Square. It'll be live in person. We're going to get a guest. We haven't talked to him or her yet, but we'll get a good guest on.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be the time and place to talk. You know, it's going to be super loud in the building already, but we're going to have a time. Once again, we should probably message J-Wall about that speaker that we've bored the last 2 years. Hopefully they have it again.
We'll give him the annual text.
The annual text. Hey, man. Hope all is well. Can we board that speaker?
Real quick. Yeah. We need a speaker.
It's probably busy as shit getting all the media stuff, getting ready for the grands. But, you know, we'll interrupt him.
But, yeah, anyway, it'll be fun. Come on by. It'll be a good time.
Hope so.
Speaking of the grands, think we'll have many Europeans there? Year before the O show, I feel like probably not.
That's exactly what I was in my head as well. I just feel like time of year, they know what's coming up. There's a O show next year. World Cups are starting early next year. World Cups kind of feel like they ran mediocrely late this year. I think we don't see many, which kind of sucks because that's always a lot of fun. They shake it up. They mix it up. I don't think we'll see a ton. Could be wrong, but I don't see any. We'll see a ton.
I feel like this is the time, though, in every Olympic cycle, and we've been through enough of these now, where everyone just hunkers down. Everyone's just like, I just need like a 3-month build before the first World Cup.
100%, dude. 100%. Everyone finds out where they're lacking something. They're like, okay, we need that block. Everyone's like, we need a block right now. This is our time. Let's take it. And a lot of people go in. They'll go like Zero Dark 30 for like a couple months. You won't hear from them. You won't see them. And then it'll just be next year. It's like they're coming out as a new person.
That's what I did too before the end of 15, before 16, before Rio. At the end of the year, I'd come back from my ankle reconstruction and stuff. And I told John, I was like, I can't go to the grands this year. I need to build strength. I'm still not 100%. And I need to improve my gait form for next year to be more competitive. He's like, yeah, go for it. And so I just went in the hole for months.
You go in, you dive in, you know, it's going to suck for a little while, but eventually it, you know, pays off. You feel better after. And mentally, it just feels good sometimes too.
Cam's come on sideways.
Oh, right. My bad.
There it is.
There he is. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, doing good. How are you guys?
Well, I got a lion behind you.
Yeah.
Dude, I like that setup right now. The poster on the side, too.
Spirit animal.
Yeah, wow. What a motivational room.
Yeah, it's my living room, so easy to wake up to in the morning. Yeah.
Is that Mayweather, Muhammad Ali, or who's the boxer?
Yeah, it's Floyd and McGregor.
Oh, nice.
That was a good fight. I was thinking about that randomly the other day.
No, classic.
Did you watch the McGregor mini docu series on Netflix? It's really good. McGregor Forever.
Yeah, I watched that one probably like 15 times. Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, James, you watch it? Yeah.
Is that an old one or is there a new one on right now? Because I thought I saw a new one, and I haven't watched it. But I've watched the one a long time ago, a couple years ago at least. I watched that one. Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, yeah. The older one's better.
Yeah. Okay. So the new one's not as good.
Wait. This one's kind of new, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. This one I think was probably on within like the last 6 months or so. And the other one I don't even think is on Netflix anymore.
I need something to watch. I'll check it out then. I'm a McGregor fan. I'm clearly not a hardo UFC guy. That's why I'm a McGregor fan. So
God, it's a tough way to make a living. Jesus.
Yeah, you gotta be brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, Cam, man, congratulations. Pan Am Games gold medalist. Let's start there. What was the experience of Pan Am's like for you?
Yeah, thanks. That makes two of us, eh? No, it was good. Obviously, it was like a one-off event that I was looking forward to all year. And it honestly was like one of my main goals this year. Just a little background info. Like I was going to go in 2019 to Peru just as like development with the other cam. Mm-hmm. And I ended up like destroying my wrist before that. And at the time, I thought that was like my end all be all. So I was super upset with that. So anyways, fast forward when it was on the schedule this year, I made it a point to like, I wanted to make sure I qualified. So I paid and went on my own to the Rio Bomba race, which was like our continental champs, ended up winning that. And so even like the whole lead up to the story and everything was super cool. But yeah, the event was cool. Of course, getting like the country gear was super cool and like something that I like geeked out on a little bit. But yeah, like, I don't know how in depth you want me to get with the racing or what, but overall, it was a great experience for sure.
Dude, I want all the in-depth stuff. I want it all, baby. I love this shit, dude.
Let's start off with just like being in the village and everything. What'd you think of that? Because it's pretty cool, obviously. Like countries with their own apartment buildings, you got a common area to eat and everything. What'd you think of the athlete village?
Yeah, the athlete village was obviously super cool. And I think what I took from like the whole thing was just trying to embrace everything that came with it and just kind of be like excited and proud for myself just to be there. And I think that's what you get kind of when you're in that village. Like you understand that everybody's just like super appreciative and like obviously humbled to represent your country. And it was cool to see, the flags, all the other people, and kind of like just all the stuff that they set up. The food wasn't the best, I'm not gonna lie, but
that's a bummer.
Other than that, it was pretty cool. I heard it was better than the last one, at least.
Having all your team clothes is sick. You wake up like, what am I gonna wear today?
Yeah. Well, some days we had dress code, so that was even cooler. Like when we first got our stuff, like Cam and I were like trying everything on and having a good time. So it was cool.
All your stuff is Nike gear, right?
Yeah. We're Nike.
That's dope.
I was jealous of Canada though. They got a bunch of Lululemon stuff. So.
Yeah, that's true. They were good.
Yeah, Canada gear was good. Yeah.
I think they're number one in that category for sure.
How was the track and all that? Because I think I've seen the track, I think, before, but obviously they redid it for, I believe, the game. So how was that?
Yeah, honestly, the track was pretty weird, but I think that's like in typical South American fashion. The turns, I think, were the biggest like question mark on the whole thing because there was good asphalt, but they're just built super weird. And like the last turn especially was super, super flat. So I know we'll get into it, but even in the final, like I didn't even know where to really ride it because it was like super flat. People were crashing. And then like the second straight was tricky because they built the jumps fine, but the transitions from the bottom of the bottom of the landings to the next takeoff were like very square, like skate parky. Mm-hmm. So you lost a lot of speed. And then the jump into the second turn probably lengthwise was the size of a berm jump, but we just had no lip. So like in practice, the first like 2 days, like people were just casing the shit out of it. And it was almost like a goal in like the time trial just to make it to the damn turn without casing. Wow. So you actually had a decent time, but it was, like I said, it was the same for everybody, but it definitely was just like a weird, just different track.
Yeah. It kind of looks like some of the, even like that third straightaway kind of, you know, it was like, looked like an interesting rhythm section, but definitely didn't look like it. It kind of rode choppy in my mind.
Yeah, it did. And like, the optimal line, like you had to manual onto the double into the last turn and not like, you know, have an actual setup jump. So it was just, like I said, it was just different.
Yeah.
Being like a major games experience, obviously it's kind of different than racing even a World Cup or USA BMX, obviously. Did you feel more nervous? Did it feel any different than another race?
Yeah, I think honestly, I was more nervous for the time trial day than I was on the race day. Because like people like tell you like, oh yeah, like the time trial is cool. It's a good experience, but it's also its own experience on its own. And I remember like getting ready for that and trying to feel motivated to do a time trial. And I'm just like, all right, like I'll be good. Like whatever, I won't do anything. But when I actually got into the gate, I was like, should I hope I don't hit the gate or like crash or like,
dude, time trials are fucking hard. Like they're always are.
Yeah. And so that was my first go at it. So I had no idea. So like, and then obviously everything feels like it's just shitty, shitty, shitty every time. Like, Oh, I messed up here. But truthfully, like my goal, and I know that like I would probably race better than I would time trial. So I just thought if I could get, you know, within the top four, then it would kind of set me up in a good spot for the next day. Cause obviously that's how they seeded it. And yeah, I ended up getting fourth in that. So it wasn't bad and I didn't crash, which was also one of my goals.
God, time trials just feel gross every time you do them.
Yeah. And like when we were talking about it, the Jeff Upshaw story always comes up in our USA talk when, ooh, I don't know which year, but in Manchester, he like pedaled through the transition and blew up. So that's always been like in my mind, like whenever I do the time trial, like, just don't blow it this time.
Yeah.
It's like, no. And like in BMX, nobody does them anymore. At least before, they always had them at World Cup. So people kind of got more or less used to them, but now it's like very foreign for everybody riding.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I don't want to say for everybody, but I think the majority of people had already at least done the Pan Ams before that was racing there. So I think I was probably one of, I don't know, maybe 8 of us who had never even done it. So it was funny though. And it was a cool experience. Mm. I don't want to do it again, but it was cool.
How did the race day go for you? Cause I know they put all the races in one day. So you do what, 3 rounds, kind of qualifying quarters, 3 rounds semis, and then 1 main. How was that? Was it a lot?
Yeah. So, I mean, coming into it, we kind of had like a bunch of talks about that type of thing. Like, hey, it's going to be long, or everybody, you know, a lot of motos, there's only 18 to 24 minutes between, and it was super structured, which I didn't mind. And I kind of felt that was on my side, just being in shape. Yeah. But I also didn't really know how it was going to work. So the first 3 quarters were fine. Thinking back on it, I think I had Carlos to race with. So it was nice. And we kind of gauged each other a little bit. And I kind of realized like I went decently hard the first moto. And then the second one, I realized everybody kind of was just chilling. So I kind of was like, all right, like I can just kind of cruise it in there. And then the semis were a little bit different. Just because obviously I know everybody's going for it and stuff, but
yeah.
I like the semis honestly were super terrible for me. And I, even Ariel gives me shit for it because they were like super, super bad. And she just didn't even say anything. That's how bad they were. Like, I think like the first one I won, but I pumped into the second turn.
Oh, hell yeah.
So it was like one of those where it's like an OG, like Rock Hill when it's too windy and you just have to pump and you get it back on the pedals. And I kind of turned around like, what the hell? Like, cause I had other fast guys. I had like Molina in there and Arboleda. And so I'm like, fuck, everybody must have been slow or whatever. Yeah. And so anyways, I made it through the semis. And yeah, like I knew like I just needed to be in the top 4, and that's kind of what my only goal was. And then obviously like before the final, I didn't really have, it's going to sound really weird, but I didn't have the goal really to win, but I just wanted to give myself like the best opportunity that I could, as far as like dropping my ego and not really caring, you know, kind of what happened. Like obviously everybody goes there, and at the beginning of the week, you know, your goal is to get a medal. And I think that's kind of weighing there. And I think going into the event, it helped me a little bit because I probably wasn't the guy to pick to win. So I didn't feel like I had a lot of pressure on myself. If anything, it was just me putting pressure on myself. And then, yeah, like the main was, like I said, obviously it turned out good for me, but I just remember sitting in the gate, like just being like, all right, like, why do you care so much if you fail? Like, fuck, just go, like, just give yourself the best opportunity. And then, yeah, I got a good start, and going into the first turn, I was just like, well, shit, I did the hard part. Like, now I got to, like, you almost rather, like, I don't know if it's true, but like, I'd rather be in second in that spot. So you can be like, not have the pressure of winning. But yeah, I didn't hit the second straight all day good until that final. And then going into the last turn, I didn't really know where anybody was, and it was kind of overcast. So you couldn't really see shadows. And I kind of use shadows a lot when I'm riding, just to kind of gauge where everybody's at. And so kind of took the last turn weird and pumped the last straight all the rollers. But yeah, it was cool to go 1-2 with my teammate too. And yeah, like I said, I think obviously I couldn't have really had a better first games experience.
Yeah, sounds like you really freed yourself up mentally in the gate.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like up until that point, like I had been having a struggle in my case, or in my head, for my standards, like the few races leading up to that. And so I just felt like that one, I was just so over like having these expectations that I was kind of just like, fuck it, like just let's just go. And yeah, I think that was a big turning point for me. And I don't think I necessarily needed that win to kind of help me in my career, but I definitely wanted it. And it, like, it felt good to, you know, remind myself that I can do those things.
I think that's a cool thing, is like just being able to free yourself up like that with just like some simple thoughts. Like you're right. You put so much pressure. We put so much pressure on ourselves when we're racing. It's like at the end of the day, like you realize, yeah, I guess nobody cares. It doesn't matter. Like in the sense of like, just go race. Like it's just a race. Who knows what's going to happen? And it's like, it's cool that you're able to do that in that moment. Cause that's a cool moment to be able to do that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, obviously you guys know, and it's like an athlete thing across the board, that we just have this big ass ego of like, I need to be the best, or I need to be here. If not, I'm not good enough. Or if I'm, you know, if I don't do this, then, you know, sponsors or this, or, you know, just anything. And so, like I said, I felt like in that moment that I almost had nothing to lose, and probably no one thought I was going to win anyway. So like, why not? It was a good day to do it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny as athletes, we think it's such a big deal if we don't do well. No one actually gives a shit. The only people that care, we're the only ones that care how we do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it took, and I've known that going into it, but obviously when you're kind of in that day-to-day struggle and grind, it's things that you overlook. So I said it was good.
Did you do much media after the main?
Yeah. So like at first I like rode through the gate, cause they just put a gate there. Like normally where you'd ride through the finish line to go cool down, they just shut that thing. And I was like trying to figure out if I was going to celebrate with Cam or what the hell I was doing. And I just plowed into the gate. And so then after that, like the USAC did a little thing. And then obviously like the presentation stuff was really cool, but the biggest thing for me was my drug test. And I got like the whole blood doping thing and all that stuff. So I didn't do much media, probably not as much as I thought. But like I said, it was still cool. And really, it was just a crazy moment to soak up, and it was cool.
Where's your medal at now?
It's in my room.
Hell yeah.
It there. It's open. I remind myself every morning that you can do it.
Yeah.
Did you wear it around the village after?
No. Like, and it was cool too. We were like the first sport, so I probably could have flexed it a little more, but we were in and out of there, and it was good.
Sounds awesome. Yeah, sounds like a really cool experience. You mentioned though, you're kind of like, you say you were kind of like just struggling with things going into that. Like what were you feeling about that?
Yeah, like my year started off kind of slow, just to my standards. Like I felt like I had a good kind of thing going in the off season, and still getting in finals, getting around the podiums and stuff, but just not doing what I wanted to do on the World Cups and stuff. And so then we had a little bit of a break, and I got 2 seconds to Joris in Louisville. So I kind of felt like where I was on a pretty good pace and good track. And honestly, like Sarion's, I just did super bad. I just didn't prepare, or did not that I didn't prepare. I just didn't execute very well. And then Argentina, I showed kind of some flashes of speed. I made a semi and crashed the other 2 days. So it just kind of wasn't going exactly how I wanted to go. And I kind of felt like I was losing a little bit of faith just in like, damn, like I came in training really well, feel really well. I kind of understand the game a bit more now than I did a few years ago, like mentally just having to stay kind of calm through everything, knowing, you know, you could be pulling one day and you can get smoked the other day. And that's just high level racing. And so, yeah, like leading into that event that week, I was on a 6-week travel trip, and obviously, I mean, I'm sure you guys have done it. We're like the first weekend is shit. And you're just like, dang, like I got to do this for 5 more weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and like I said, really respect to him. Like Cam came back from his injury and did really well. And so like, I was happy for him, but I'm like, damn, like he's getting results. I'm sitting here pissed off.
I fucking suck. I want to go home.
I don't live at home with my mom anymore. I can't just go home and just get like, just kind of just struggling and dealing with that type of stuff. So I kind of like, before I was even going to like do the Pan Ams, I had kind of already like written in my journal and kind of the things that I wanted to improve on and wanted to work on. And then like, again, it's just so funny. Like sometimes we just base our whole, what's going on in our life just off of a result, which is so dumb. And so then going into that one, obviously after I won the Pan Ams, I was like, oh yeah, that's all right. Well, we're good.
But we're back.
just a struggle. Yeah. Just a struggle. That was really it. Just kind of underperforming with what I wanted to do. Like I said, I don't have, you know, necessarily result based goals anymore just because it's kind of superficial, but I just wasn't performing the way I wanted to.
But you're definitely coming on Argentina. You started riding really well in Argentina. I thought like you showed some good pull down the first straight and put some really good laps together.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It was, like I said, it was a good step in the right direction, I think. And I think if I can just keep building on that, you know, through this kind of off season and into next year, then I think we should have something for the guys.
You know, it's funny. It can take like 9 months of not feeling great and kind of struggling, and just like one day for it to all change.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how like the last couple of weeks have been now. Like I just had just so much like almost insecurity around, you know, my riding and my training. And now, like I said, it's just one thing and I'm like, okay, like I'm good. I didn't train all year for no reason. Like there's hope. There's hope.
Oh, I love it. Are you still enjoying being in Florida?
Yeah, I think, for me right now, it's still the best place to be. There's a bunch of people. We kind of don't really ride together very much anymore. I think every BMX scene kind of goes through that where like everybody's super cool with each other and then people aren't really cool with each other, but right now I'm still, right now I'm still enjoying it. And yeah, being close to the two Supercross tracks still is beneficial for me because I'm still just trying to ride and get better on the track and stuff.
We're not around. Spill the tea, dog. Who's not cool with who right now? Come on.
No, there's no beef, but it's just some people just don't like to ride with each other or you get too many people. Yeah, yeah. But
you know, it's funny too. Like oftentimes as it gets closer to the Olympics, people start being like a bit more secluded, a bit more doing their own thing. It becomes a bit secretive. More like that. Yeah, like I feel like other years people are like, yeah, sure, we'll do gates together. But then closer to it, you're like, oh, no, I think I might just do stuff on my own.
Yeah, and that could be it. Like we're getting closer to next year where everybody's, again, going for blood. So that could be it. But yeah, so far, Florida's treated me really nice. And, you know, I think there's really no races on the West Coast anymore other than I think Phoenix next year. So it's good for travel. Help me save some budget.
It's been a long year with travel and such. Like you've traveled quite a bit and raced quite a long time. How's your energy this time of year? Like how do you stay fresh this time of year?
Yeah, I mean, luckily social media gives you a lot of hype for all the races, but I took some time off after the Pan Ams. And that was kind of my little break. So my quote unquote grand's prep wasn't just like flooded straight into the race, because obviously I kind of understand the time to take the break, and that break was, you know, a little bit earlier this year than it will be for other years. So just take some downtime, played some golf, and then after Grands, I'll go home to California for a few weeks to meet up with the family, and then buckle up for a busy 2024.
It was a good time probably to take a break too, because you just accomplished something great. You actually get to enjoy it.
Yeah, and that was the problem too. Rock Hill was the weekend after, and I probably had the lowest amount of motivation for a race that I've ever had in my entire life. I actually didn't ride too bad, but like it was my birthday, and I'm like, I'm racing, and I'm like, just not even want to like necessarily celebrate, but I just kind of wanted to just sit on the couch and soak up kind of what just happened. And I'm just like, another race, another one. But it's been good, and I think luckily, the time off definitely helps kind of recharge the batteries, because it can get tiring and you can get burnt out if you're not careful.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like that point just turns into a job. So,
For sure.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, is Grand something like you look forward to like this point in your career? Like, is this still something you were excited about? Cause I know maybe this time of year with the Olympic cycle and all that too, I mean, World Cups, Olympics is probably high on the mind, but, is Grand still something it's like, you know, you still want to go perform at, of course?
Yeah, I think just also because growing up, like that's the big race. Like that's always been the goal, like growing up has to perform well at the Grands. Like I think no matter what, like with everybody there, all the sponsors, all the teams, you want to prove yourself and you want to do well. And I still have high hopes for the Grands, but I also kind of, like I said, I'm in a better place now to where I can understand like it's a big, important race, but with all the things coming up, it's not the most important. But I will say it's always nice to feel good at the night show and ready to fight for a win. So I'm hoping that's the case this year.
I did want to ask about team. You mentioned the team stuff. Yeah. What's the deal with Haro and you guys? Cause you guys, so you, Bacardo, did Nick do it as well? I believe he did. Posted about the team, you guys not being part of Haro next year. Like they're not going to have a race team, race division anymore. What's the deal with that?
Yeah. I'm not sure I can speak too much on Nick's side, but I think they are going to run an amateur program.
Okay.
So I believe he stays, but basically it was kind of a shock to the system and kind of like a breakup with a girlfriend, honestly. I was negotiating another contract to what I thought was going to sign through maybe the next cycle even. And a couple of days before we were getting things finalized, my manager who ended up getting fired just before I did, said, hey, like the new, because I guess Haro got bought or taken over by new people within maybe the last year or two.
Okay.
And they just kind of said like, hey, they're thinking about maybe going in a new direction. And if they are going to take budget out of BMX, like I'm going to go. And he didn't even get that chance. They just ended up firing him one day. And then sure enough, like 2 or 3 days later, I got called by a guy that I've never even seen or know of really. And they kind of just spilled the beans that, hey, like we're going to fulfill, your contract through the end of this year. But after that, there's going to be no more, pro team. So that was, that was in September ish. Yeah. So yeah, that was also, I think probably what played a little bit into feeling like I was kind of in a rut and in a struggle too, because obviously you guys know the industry is not super huge, and going into the Olympic year, I really wasn't planning on, you know, trying to change up my setup and my bike and stuff, but it was what was thrown at us. So, you know, we live on
random timing for it to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would have thought, I would at least thought that they would have maybe gone through the Olympics year, but you know, whatever, business is business. So no hard feelings. And at least like, truthfully, I know a lot of brands that would have just kind of cut us dry and said, good luck. So I'm really appreciative that they continued and fulfilled, you know, their contract through this year.
Right.
Yeah. It's part of the business, but it's always tough because it's been your home for a while. So it's always like, it's hard initially to think of actually being somewhere else, but you know, new opportunities will come, and it's, you know, change is good.
Change is good even when it's not expected.
Totally. keeps it fresh.
I guess positive is like it's early enough that, you know, teams haven't got their budgets. It's like you're ready for the next year, so like, you know, there could still be openings kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, and that was kind of the challenging part too, just because like we didn't really get into it, but it was really a hard kind of decision on whether we should like air out the news before the contract was done and stuff. Because obviously there's two sides to that, and one, because it was going to cause maybe some drama with the brand of people bad mouthing or just talking shit or whatever. But also for like mine and Anthony's side, it was like, okay, well, it's September, you know, teams are looking for people and trying to sign deals by October. No one's going to get a ride after the grands. If I go, hey, it's December 15th, you know, do you have money that I can use? So it was, it was a funky time to do it all. But like, I think, I can confidently say I have, you know, some things lined up and stuff, and I think I'll be just fine. So it'll be good.
Let me, you know, secrets, you know, can we get something, maybe a hint?
No one listens to this show. It's just us talking.
Yeah.
I love silly season talk.
I can't tell you the answer, but I think you guys will be stoked. I'll let you guys know maybe at the Grands or something.
All right.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah. Any team would be lucky to have you. Speaking of next year, assuming your focus will be on the World Cup stuff, especially being an Olympic year.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is I still need to meet some criteria to hopefully go to the games. Obviously, I don't know if you guys are aware, but we're in like a 3-4 country battle right now for two spots.
Oh, it's a dogfight.
Just a straight dogfight. So that's going to be my big motivating factor this offseason. Just performing for myself. Obviously, you know, if I compete up there with that high level and I earn my spot to go, then I deserve to be there. And if not, then I don't. But yeah, the big focus is the World Cup season. Luckily, we have one at home, and I'm also looking forward to the World Champs at home too. It'll be my first like elite World Champs and stuff. And I really like Rock Hill. So that's a big opportunity for me.
What's the criteria the US has put out that you have to meet?
Yeah, so we have like a point system based off of World Cup finals. So basically we have our own little mantra of points, whether it's 30, 20, 10, whatever it is. And it's all based off of World Cup finals. So like right now, Wood would be the only one that's in that criteria.
Right. God, they should bring back the Olympic trials. That was fucking electric.
God, it's awesome.
Dude, I would hate that. But we do have like a asterisk. If you podium at the Worlds, like Nick did,
automatic.
It's automatic. So it goes over even the first spot.
Yeah, dude,
so.
I love that.
I think winning a World Cup should be automatic too.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if you can win there, then you obviously could win anywhere. But that obviously throws like a big kind of fork in everything, because depending on if we do get two or one spots, that race could be more important than in some of the other ones. So I might be living in Rock Hill next year. We'll see.
the Olympic trials was super exciting to watch. I loved it. But in terms of, and I got to say, those years they did it, it got lucky that the right person won, because it could be disastrous. Like if there's a multiple person crash and someone who probably shouldn't be going gets to go, like it's not ideal to see who goes.
Well, even they did that LCQ for the last one in Rio. Yeah. And like, I'm pretty sure Zach won the LCQ to go in, but he technically couldn't even be in the race. And then, if whoever didn't win it, then Connor wouldn't have went. And then it would have, like, who knows, obviously. So I think it's a big gamble, but I do think it was good, probably for marketing and televising at least.
Absolute pressure cooker. That would be holy.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, it would be sick, but I think that the world's there is literally going to be like that for us. Like, I think that everybody's going to kind of go into that event knowing like, it's fucking, this is it. Like if you really pop one off, you can really, you know, make it the difference. So
the worlds before the Olympics are sick, cause there's so much on the line. Like it's not just the world championships for most people.
Yeah. It'll be, like I said, one of my first experiences with that. Cause I didn't even get to go. I was hurt a few years ago. So I like went to these last two, but it'll be good to have one at home.
How old are you now?
I just turned 24 in October.
24. James, should we get into our favorites?
Yeah, not one non-BMX related question. And one of the guys in the chat, and I'm pretty sure I knew this, but are you a Bucks fan?
Yeah, sure.
No, not really. Hey,
I'm nearly no. I have a buddy I went to high school with. He plays for the Packers, but I know some Bucks fans. So it was we watched the game this past weekend. It was cool.
That's cool. Yeah, because you were on the side. Were you down the field fan or something?
Yeah. Yeah, we got some access. The medal holds a little bit of weight, I guess.
Hell yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna play a game called Our Favorites. So we're gonna list 1, 2, 3, like ten things, and we each have to say what our favorite option is.
Okay.
Little explanation if you want to. A little explanation. You know, make it fun.
Yeah.
Tori, start us off.
Okay, I'll start it off. All right. Favorite BMXer. I go first.
Yeah, if you want.
No, Cam, go first.
You're right. Okay.
Donnie Robinson.
I'm going style points. I'm going Corbin. He's my vision of style. You know, when he comes out of the turn, he's just like, you know, do his little pedals off the side of his bike a little bit, and then you know, it's just like.
My favorite BMXer, Mariana. She's just the goat.
Okay, that's fair.
Fair.
Favorite food?
Ooh, Alfredo, fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh yeah, okay. Is that like the race day food, race day meal?
No, I get yelled at if I eat that. But like my birthday, like growing up, like I would always just go to Olive Garden on my birthday and just get Alfredo.
So
that was my night before racing meal when I was like 15 every national.
Maybe in the porta potty the next day.
Yeah. That's Ryan Tugas's go-to, I think, still. I think that's his, like, if he needs something before race, that's his go-to.
Nice heavy cream.
I used to think that, like, pasta and Italian food was, like, terrible for, like, a birthday meal, but I'm all about it now. Give me a nice baked pasta dish. It's so good. Favorite food, though, if I go out for food, it's sushi these days. If I'm going out, it's sushi, so that's me.
Chicken pad thai. It's not close either.
That's like a game, like way ahead, number one.
God, I fucking love chicken pad. Yeah, I used to be Mexican, but I love Thai food. Yeah. Favorite drink?
Ooh, I like sweet tea.
That's a good answer. You know, I would say iced tea because in Canada, but sweet tea. Yeah. I'll go coffee. Can't not. Just so you know.
Oh, okay. Well.
There's no other answer.
I didn't even think of anything. I didn't even think of coffee. Yeah, I'll go coffee too. Favorite track?
Ooh, favorite track. I really enjoy Nashville.
Wow, good one.
Really?
Yep.
The first straight there it's like no other. So that's a good one to choose.
Yeah. I missed it this year. I was bummed.
Yeah. They always have it around a World Cup, I feel like. I don't know what it is. It's always around a World Cup at the beginning of the year there, like in May or ish. Yeah. I'm taking the track that not many people have ridden, so it's hard to explain how good it is, but Chula Beijing. That's just an all-time track to do so much flowing around on. I know it's hard to find videos from it, but like, you know, if you can find a video of somebody riding it, it's pretty cool.
Chula USA BMX track. I love that one. I love that place.
All right, quick question. Do you guys think you'd enjoy riding Beijing today? Like at this, like,
how, like if I just instance, got a bike think, and did it, if I just got a bike and did
I
it now,
would be I think I'd be terrified to go Mach 10 at Beijing track right now.
Here's the thing.
A lot of overshooting, a lot of boner errors, a lot of.
You'd be going a lot faster than either of us would at this, like this time. So, I mean, I think I'd be perfectly fine.
That could be fun.
Yeah. I'd just be going as fast as I possibly could. And I'd just be floating around there.
With how fast everyone is now, though, imagine going at that second straight Mach 10. There's just no way you're getting backside in the first.
At the end of my time there, I was doing efforts like 3/4 of the way into the turn to make sure I could at least touch the landing of that step up.
That third straight's no joke, too. Like, if you try and go fast, you're playing with some fire.
Yeah.
You tag one, you're dead.
You know what I think about? If they'd had if they want a one-off event for women, they should make the women race
that'd be fucking sick.
Dude, it'd be sick. There's so many women that could jump that. It'd actually be really awesome to watch. I'd love watching that. It'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. That'd be a good idea.
Red Bull, get on it.
Celebrity crush.
Ooh, I really think Gia Duddy's cute. He's like a quarterback's ex.
Well, that answer was
something.
That answer was quick as shit. Yeah, that one teed
up. Yeah. That was fresh in their brain. Probably saw on TikTok earlier.
That's fair. I got my list too. I got Margaret Robbie on my list. So, I mean, that's just an easy one. Specifically,
James pulls out his laminate card. Top five.
I'm only grab my wallet here for a sec, boys. I pull that thing out.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Be careful with your answer, man.
I know. I can't think of one.
You're engaged.
Savannah is in the house.
I think is really Blake Lively's really pretty. I think.
Oh yeah,
that is
that's
such
an
engaged person to answer right there. I mean, she's gorgeous, but I'm just saying.
That's a poster answer.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I'll go with Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Favorite vacation spot.
Ooh. I'd say Hawaii. I grew up. Every summer I would go there and visit my grandparents and stuff. So Hawaii's got a good place in my heart.
That's cool. I didn't know your grandparents are from there. That's cool.
Not from there, but they had like a vacational place over there.
Sick.
That's cool. Yeah. I've never been there, but I want to stay there, but I've never been there. So I guess I can't really, I don't really have a vacation spot. I'll just say anywhere where there's a golf course, SoCal. I mean, Tori's house, go hang out.
Somewhere where it's not snowing.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere where it's just not fucking 5 degrees outside and cold, you know, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I gotta go with Hawaii too. I love Hawaii.
I need
favorite breakfast.
Ooh. Can never go wrong with a good French toast.
Ooh, nice.
God, you know what? I was thinking about making one recently. I was lying in bed last night thinking about what I was gonna have for breakfast, and I forgot. I thought about it. Might have it tomorrow.
If I ever go out, I never order like an omelet or anything I'd have at home or oatmeal. If I get it, it's French toast.
Yeah. Shoot, what's mine? Yeah, if I go out, I don't. I would love to see maybe pancakes or waffles. If I'm making something at home, it's an everything bagel, cream cheese, an avocado, and an egg on top. That's my go-to at home. I'm just gonna say that.
Solid.
Yeah, I'll say that.
I like just a nice like veggie omelet with some sliced avocado on top, with some toast and crispy bacon with a nice coffee.
This healthy guy over here.
That's the work.
That's great.
Yeah.
Favorite state.
Steak. Oh, I like filet mignon.
No, steak.
Oh, steak.
You're filet mignon. I would go filet mignon for sure. I'd go filet mignon also.
I really like the. I'll go North Carolina. I really like it out there.
Oh yeah, North Carolina is a cool state. Yeah, I like North Carolina too. East Coast is very. I feel like laid back, kind of chill lifestyle.
Yeah, especially just compared to California. I mean, I haven't been to. Haven't lived in many other states, but California, SoCal, especially when it's like 4 to 8 p.m., you don't want to be on the road. It's a lot going on and kind of just seems like a little more simple life in North Carolina.
Mm. I don't really know what I have for my favorite state. I would always just say California because I don't really have another option, because I might say Florida these days. I don't know. I'd go between the two.
So, state you raced
pick one. You got to pick one.
I'll pick Florida, but I want to be on the West Coast of the, like in the Gulf there. What do you call it? This is Gulf. I want to be on the West Coast. I like the sunset. I want the sunset, not the sunrise.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I'll go California. I love California.
Goodbye, stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favorite athlete?
Ooh. Favorite athlete. It's a good one. Growing up, like I watched a lot of like I watched like baseball and stuff, but I think like just because my head is kind of like into the games and type of things, I really like Usain Bolt.
What a dog he is, hey?
Yeah, and I think it was really cool that he's able to like joke around and like kind of mess with all of his competition, but still be locked in. I think that like if I could be an athlete like that, I would, but I just can't do that. But I think he's cool.
I love the videos of him just dapping up the guys behind his start block, you know, just giving them props, and then they just put a smile on her face. And yeah,
I was gonna say, I think that's how he dealt with his nerves and stuff. Of course,
smart guy,
right?
Yeah. Easy one for me, Tiger Woods. Instant easy, there it is. He's the GOAT, so you know.
Say Pat Mahomes is my favorite.
He's not even your quarterback.
That guy. So I mean, I like Lamar. Lamar is legit, but Pat Mahomes is he's a performer to watch. Yeah, okay. I think he's really fun to watch. He's so athletic. Yeah. Favorite movie?
Not a huge movie guy. So I like funny stuff. I'd say the first 21 Jump Street.
That's a good one.
Like the first one that they came
out.
That's
a fucking funny movie. Yeah.
One's always the best one. That was the best one. Yeah. I'll go with the comedy one too. I'm going Wedding Crashers. That's a classic.
Oh, it's mine too. That one's fantastic. Yeah. last one. Favorite singer.
Oh, favorite singer. Big Morgan Wallen guy.
Nice. Good choice. Mine's right next to him, Luke Combs. I know, same, a little different, you know? It's just like Luke Combs.
Yeah, Morgan Wallen's mine too. I've been listening to a lot of Jason Aldean lately too. He's really good, but Morgan's my favorite. Well, we're just a big country
podcast. Guys,
say his name again, Tori.
You know, I don't know if I'm saying his last name properly.
Say it again.
Is it Aldean? Is it Aldean or Aldean?
I thought you said it weird. I thought you separated the words. I thought you said Aldean. Jason Aldean.
I think maybe that's the way Aldean. He says it. I think he says Jason Aldean.
I think it's Aldean. Yeah,
I think people just say Jason Aldean.
Jason Aldean.
That may be right. All right.
Well, people say a lot of stuff, but I think this is how you say it. You know, when they're on Instagram, you know, when like those famous people are on Instagram, they'll be like, hey, y'all, Jason Aldean here. And he'll just go and say something. That's how we say it.
That's
how,
okay.
Yeah. thanks for coming on, Cam. Good to talk to you, brother. Best of luck at the Grands. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you race there.
Oh, we have some quick shots. We have some quick shots. Can we run through?
Oh, questions.
Do you have time? Do you have 5 minutes?
From the grandstands?
Five more?
Yeah. You're good.
Okay. Yep, we'll be really good. Quick. We got, okay.
Do you have them, James?
Joe Flo's 11. Who's your best golf partner?
Joe Flo's 11. He's my scramble buddy.
All right. I had to figure there had to be some connection there.
From Kyle Gress, how does he feel about J-Law teasing to race Moto again? I saw that.
Oh, that's sick. I think, again, he like those type of athletes are pretty like cool to watch. I mean, like I said, I would never want to be in his position, but having those guys that stir the pot and stuff are sick. And it would be cool to see him back. I wish he would have raced a little sooner. But now I think it's cool that he's like at least involved in the sport and stuff.
There's a bunch of different questions. A couple questions about Hara. We won't ask that, especially 15 BMXs. You know, they say their guess is S squared. I'm just going to say great guess if it is. I mean, if it would be great.
I can tell you I'm not riding for Factory Escort.
Oh, that's too bad, eh?
So, I mean, too bad, huh?
Yeah. What do you think of Taylor Swift putting one football player on the map? That's from Felicia Dancer.
I don't even know who that is.
You know what's funny? Savannah asked something similar. She's like, she asked something along the lines of, was Travis Kelce known or was he good? And I was like, oh my God.
They do it on purpose. Felicia and I were staying together in France the week that all that stuff was going out, and she like I couldn't tell if she was joking or not sometimes. Like I'd just be on my phone and she'd like yeah, like, you saw this guy that Taylor Swift's talking to? Like, do you know who he is? And I'm like,
yo. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Time for us to blow someone up. Megan Dungeon. I never know how to pronounce her name. We need to maybe ask her. Worst city in the U.S. you've all been to. Hell yeah. Time to blow someone out.
All right.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Worst city that I've ever been to. Honestly, I don't think Houston is a very great city.
Yeah. Fair. It's not
great. Especially where the track is, and it's that not great. Is just no, not a great location.
Not yeah. great.
I didn't like Dothan. I stayed. I chose a bad hotel the first one. It just instantly ruined my experience. So, what? Yeah, yeah. No go for me.
Yeah, Houston. I mean, I stayed with Riley Graham's family. They're like north of the city, so it was really nice where they were at. But yeah, Houston's not very nice.
I'm surprised you guys didn't say Bakersfield.
We're nice guys, Randy.
Yeah, Bakersfield's not private. Great. What's the next question? Eli Shaw.
You didn't pick one, team. What are you picking?
I kind of just went with Houston, too.
He said Houston.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's not a very nice city? El Centro.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, fair
enough. It's not nice. It's not nice at all.
We don't go there.
No. Eli Shaw, best thing and worst thing about Bakersfield?
Best thing and worst thing about Bakersfield?
It's really cold in the summer. That's got to be nice.
Yeah. The worst thing is probably the air pollution and the tweakers.
Is it bad air pollution in Bakersfield? Does it all come from LA and settle there or what?
I don't know. I think it's from Fresno and then, yeah, probably everything just because it's central. Best thing, I'm just going to go with a good one, is my family's there. I'm not too sure what the best thing. Yeah, the track's really not bad.
Yeah, track's good.
Yeah, track's good.
You know what? I've stopped at the same subway in Bakersfield so many times when I've driven back and forth to Canada. For some reason, I always end up stopping at the same subway in Bakersfield, right off the I-5. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
It's like, don't know that one.
I always seem to be hungry there.
Well, I know what subway you're talking about.
It's one right beside the Starbucks.
Out there, everything looks the same, though.
Oh, yeah, but the Starbucks. I think we probably already asked when he came on before. Chipotle or In-N-Out?
Has it changed?
Well, the last time, I would say Chipotle now, but I think I said In-N-Out the last time, and then that wasn't the right answer. Or one of them wasn't the right
last
answer.
Last time was the right answer for sure.
Was the In-N-Out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't get it anymore now that I'm on the East Coast. So,
what's the go-to fast food place? Do you have one? Like, you know, a little blow-up meal?
Just Chipotle.
Yeah. Okay.
Just Chipotle. Yeah, when we're lazy.
You guys ever go eat at that, what's that restaurant called? I was going.
Chick-fil-A?
No, it's like kind of a Caribbean restaurant. Caribbean vibe restaurant.
Caribbean restaurant.
Got like a little like pirate thing there. What's it called? Oh, it's a grill. It's like they got like Caribbean food, fish, grilled fish.
Caribbean grill?
Island
something maybe?
Is it Bonefish Grill?
No, I don't think that's it.
No, not both.
Maybe called Island something. I can't remember.
That's it.
From LRBMXUT, best Grands track you ever raced?
Best Grands track I ever raced? I didn't mind 2017, but I think the best one that I wish I could have raced was 2014. I think if they make a first straight like that.
Yeah. 2014 was good. I don't understand why people think 17 was good. I thought that track was fucking terrible.
I think it was good for me because I was like 17 and it made a difference to jump to pro set. So it was like made a staple. Okay. Like it was like my age. I think I was 16. So like my age, like half the people were jumping, half the people weren't. So I think that's why I didn't have to try as hard. But I do think, I don't know if you guys raced it, but 2014 would have had to have been my favorite. And I think the layout is similar, maybe not with the berm jump, but I just hope they do a first straight like that again one day.
That was cool. Like long first straight. That was a huge pro section too. Like
huge pro section and like the step table, the first jump, like you looked like you could go all out. Like I'm really hoping that there's a wide open first straight this year.
Yeah. Me too. Do you have any more, James?
Nope.
Good. All right. Cam, thanks for coming on, brother. Best of luck at the Grands, and we'll see you there.
Yeah, thank you. See you, boys.
Thanks, Cam.
All right, buddy.
See you in Tulsa.
Oh, later.
There you go. Cam Larson, baby.
Where's the where is it here? It's got to be that one. There it is. Thanks for Cam coming on. That was he's a good chat. He always is. The times we've had him on, he's awesome to talk to.
I can't remember the last time we had him on. I know we've had him on for a show, but I can't remember exactly when it was.
We're starting to be able to have some regular cycles, you know? More guests come on, we can touch base with them, you know, hear how years have been. I like that. I enjoy that.
We have this phenomenon now, too, because the show's, we've been going for, what, 5-6 years now, that we had some people on the first 2 years, and we have them on again, and people think, because I think we've gained a lot of listeners the last, like, a lot of new listeners the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. People think this is the first time they've been on.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is,
I mean, we're over 200 shows now, so. Yeah. But
you don't want to talk about the same old, like, stuff maybe we did last time, but it's so far gone that a lot of people, you're right, probably haven't heard it. They probably want that.
So I recommend people, like, go back and listen to some of the original shows we did the first year or two, because we had a lot of riders on initially, like especially the first like 50 shows, I'll say, that you'd probably like to hear from, that we did really in depth, like Brooke Crane or, you know, other people.
Yeah.
Sam being one also. So yeah, go back and listen.
Thanks to everyone who listened to the last few shows too, with Saya, with Caroline. They've been doing well. So seems like we've got a couple messages from it too. People are enjoying them. So appreciate that and happy to hear they were good.
Did we get some messages?
Got a couple each. So, you know, we don't get a whole lot of DMs per show after, you know, these ones of saying like, oh yeah, I really like that one. So to get a couple like on a specific one, it's always a good sign.
Yeah. Some people like to complain though. Hey yeah. Guys, just been thinking about this and we'll get like a paragraph. Someone.
You want to know what? There's this, I don't even know. I'm not going to expose the person, but like the one person always messages about, our boy on, he's an escrow rider, freestyle guy now, the major. What's his full name? Major. What's his name? We should really know this. He's not like a no, he's got a, he's big in the freestyle world. Marshall Gerke. You know?
Oh, what about him?
He's just a young guy. I mean, he's doing like the freestyle world now. He's been doing stuff, and the guy like just reams us out for not having him on talking about Seriously? How he's doing more for the sport of BMX racing than, you know, anybody else. And I'm just like, brother, like he's doing his thing and he's having a great time. We'll get him on in the future, sure, but lay off.
The guy's pissed.
Oh, he is all the time, dude. It's been years. I swear to God, it's been years. Every now and again, he sent us a message about something else, and I looked back and I was like, oh, this is the guy. And it was a nice message. I just realized, I was like, oh, this is the guy who's reamed us out before.
Our messages on Coffee Chatter can be a bit of a wild place, our DMs. We get a real mixed bag.
Huge. Big variety. Huge.
So yeah, got to open at your own peril. People are funny.
They are. Yeah, you got to take it with a grain of salt sometimes. I enjoy it. Sometimes it used to get on my nerves, and nowadays it's an open and closed. But it used to be like I would just go in and start replying to people, and I'd have to be like, okay, calm down. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's just the internet's a wild place, and you just kind of got to laugh at it, because if you take it seriously, you can't take it seriously, because people just, a lot of times people react irrationally to stuff.
True. It's true. Yeah. Good show though. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed talking to Cam. Like I said, cool to hear some Pan Am stuff. It's always good to get that insight and depth and like the big events like that. And I love that he was able to like find something that clicked on the weekend, in the sense of like, leave the bullshit aside, just go race basically. And it was like, boom, there you go.
Yeah. 100%. So they good to see what he does with the grads.
It's coming up quick, dude. Okay. It's like 10 days away.
I know. Today's Monday. Yeah. Yeah, it's next week.
We got a Grants preview next week, dude. Holy, we're not doing a coffee cup this year.
No, we're not. I thought about that. We don't have enough time. It really crept up on us. I thought we had more time, and all of a sudden we're going next week.
I've had 2-3 weeks of head down, just not even realizing what's going on in life. And so then I just realized it was like, boom, Grants is next, like a week away. So crazy.
Yeah, it's not happening. It is what it is. It's fine.
It's kind of is what it is.
ProGate Europe winning starts at the Great Gate. Cam Larson, great starter. Pan Am Games gold medalist on a ProGate Europe.
Get yours today, guys. Gotta get it. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, boys will be in Tulsa. We'll be back next week with the Grants preview. Snap on green.
Snap on green, everybody. We're going out tonight.
Well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the track.
I hate that guy.